Steve, you've been talking to a man who was a detainee at Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, his name is Moazzam Begg. He spent 3 years in American custody and then was released. He was never charged with anything, although the Pentagon contends he's still dangerous, even though he was freed. He's now written a book called Enemy Combatant, and it provides one hard-to-verify account of what life is like in American custody. Moazzam Begg says he was beaten and psychologically tortured while in Afghanistan. Then he spent 2 quiet years at Guantanamo Bay, mostly isolated in an 8-foot by 6-foot cell. We spoke with him yesterday. When you're spending your days as a prisoner at Guantanamo Bay, what's your daily routine like?
It begins with the call to prayer, which is sort of resounding around the whole of the camp, and also with the American National Anthem being blasted at 8 a.m. precisely. After that, it's a series of things that include breakfast, it includes talking to guards, which is probably the best part of the day. For almost 2 years in Guantanamo, I didn't see any detainees. I was eventually moved to a block where there were other detainees, but that only lasted for a period of 2.5 months.
Which I suppose explains why talking to the guards would also be a bright point in the day.
Certainly, yes, because that was the only communication I had with anybody other than interrogators.
Now, granting that you did not agree with being held for so long, did you understand why the U.S. government was at least interested in you as someone who had traveled in recent years to Bosnia, Pakistan, gunmen's camps in Afghanistan, etc.?
The point was, I think, about all of this is that so did thousands, tens of thousands of other people around the world. That is no justification in any way to kidnap someone, to torture them, to falsely imprison them, to have them have no communication meaningfully with their family and give them no charge or trial. Questioning is one thing, but torture and false imprisonment is quite a different one.
How long did you go without contact from your family?
Well, the contact was very intermittent in that I did receive letters through the International Committee of the Red Cross, but sometimes they were 8 months, a year late. Sometimes they were blocked completely. Even letters from my daughter, who was 7 years old at the time, were obscured and blacked out.
And you had only the most minimal news of what was happening in the world during those almost 3 years?
The only official news that I was ever given, I remember, was when they read out about the capture of Saddam Hussein officially to all the detainees, as if it really made any difference to me at all. I don't care about Saddam Hussein. The information that I got unofficially was from guards who were empathetic and used to tell me little snippets of information.
How eventually did you reestablish contact with the outside world?
Well, I think the first sort of main real contact was when initially lawyers were allowed into Guantanamo. Now, this wasn't because we were given rights to appear in court. It was because that we were actually taking habeas claims against President Bush. And so the limited contact I did have with lawyers allowed me to gain some information of the outside world and the campaign that's being mounted by my father and other people in Great Britain.
Your family got in touch with some of the various law firms that have offered to take on these cases, and they have gone to federal courts, and gradually you got some contact that way. That's what you're saying?
That's correct, yes.
What do you think made the difference between you getting out and other detainees not? There's plenty of families, I'm sure, who are trying to get people out the same way that your family did.
I think one of them is that, you know, the so-called special relationship between the United Kingdom and the United States, but not exclusively so, because 300 detainees have been released, and many of them hail from places like Yemen and Sudan and Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Well, now let me ask, because there is this debate going on in the United States right now. President Bush has proposed a new form of military tribunals. Congress is now considering it. If we grant that you were someone who, at the least, had very interesting stamps on his passport, and someone who perhaps the United States would have felt justified in looking into, what, in your view, should Americans have done?
In relation to my own case, I would say that come over, knock on my door, and ask to speak to me. I'll speak back to you. But if it's, well, we can eliminate what they shouldn't have done. They shouldn't have incarcerated people for such a long term without charge and without trial. That's not a way to go about it at all. After all, fair hearings do not jeopardize United States security. They're what the country supposedly stands for.
Moazzam Begg is the author of Enemy Combatant. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So that's part of the account of Moazzam Begg, who's back at home in Birmingham, England now. His story obviously raises many questions. It's hard to verify anybody's claims here, but we're going to explore them more fully in a longer interview with Moazzam Begg tomorrow.